The year 2000 marks the 1,000th anniversary of the text of Beowulf, the great Anglo-Saxon epic that many people consider the origin of English literature. To honor the occasion, the Nobel Prize-winning poet Seamus Heaney was commissioned to do a new translation of the poem for the latest edition of the Norton Anthology of English Literature. It's also being published as a separate book. According to our linguist, Jeff Nunberg, Heaney has done a brilliant job of bringing the classic back to its origins.
What? I've always wanted to start a talk with that word. It was the general way of getting your audience's attention in Anglo-Saxon times, as in, what the Viking longboats approach, or what, could you bring us a cup of coffee in the Czech? What is also the first word of Beowulf, and the way it's translated can give you a sense of how people have thought of the poem. It begins with the bard recalling the courage of the Danish kings and nobles of olden times. What way gardena in yer dagum theod kuniga thrumgefrunon hutha adalingas ellen fremedon? And so on for another 3,000 lines. Stirring stuff, the only question is why anybody would want to call it English. When you read Chaucer, you have the sense that he spoke the same language we do, even if the pronunciation's changed over the past 600 years. But with Beowulf, there's no sense of familiarity at all. And in fact, for the first 800 years or so after it was written down, nobody thought of Beowulf as an English language poem. For that matter, nobody thought much of it at all. Chaucer and Shakespeare probably never heard of it, and it didn't even appear in print until 1815. It was only in the 19th century that people began to think of it as the starting point of English literature, and took to referring to the language as Old English rather than Anglo-Saxon. It was all part of the nostalgia for medieval times that became popular as England became an industrialized, imperialist nation. The idea that the racial spirit of the English was formed back in the simple days before the Normans brought the corruption of a foreign language and foreign culture. You can hear that tone in the Victorian translations of Beowulf. They always translate what as lo, and they go on to render the poem in the quaintly archaic language of medieval romances like Tennyson's Idylls of the King, the sort of thing that would have been printed with William Morris borders and pre-Raphaelite illustrations of damsels in long gowns and knights in armor. But Beowulf had nothing to do with all that when knighthood was in flower stuff of the High Middle Ages. Actually, the poem was an exercise in nostalgia even when it was written down. It was probably composed in the 10th century, but it deals with mythical events that were set several hundred years earlier, in pre-Christian times, back in the lands of the North Sea that the Angles and Saxons inhabited before they set off for England. It tells the story of the Swedish warrior prince Beowulf and his combats with various monsters and dragons. It alternates between vivid descriptions of dismemberments and decapitations and quieter passages where the survivors repair to their mead halls to drink and sing stories about the great dismemberments and decapitations of bygone days. But it's also a poem about courage and loyalty. And it would have had an elegiac cast even at the time it was written down, in an England that had become a literate Christian country where the old myths were dying away. So it was an inspired stroke for the editors of the Norton Anthology to commission their new translation from Seamus Heaney. It isn't just that Heaney's a great poet, but that his own poetry is given to Irish themes that would have seemed very familiar to the Anglo-Saxon world where Beowulf was composed, both the violence of contemporary life and the echoes of folk tales of antique kings and heroes. You can hear this in the way Heaney translates the opening lines of the poem, where he renders whet as so. So, the Spear Danes in days gone by and the kings who ruled them had courage and greatness. So, it's a very quiet way to translate whet, and the translation continues in simple language that comes as close as modern English can to the four-beat rhythm and alliteration of the original. Listen to this passage where the monster Grendel comes at night to devour the Danish warriors in their hall. In off the moors, down through the mist bands, God-cursed Grendel came greedily loping. The bane of the race of men roamed forth, hunting for prey in the high hall. To tell the truth, I've never been partial to the idea that Beowulf marks the beginning of English poetry, and I still prefer to call the language Anglo-Saxon. Poetically speaking, English didn't really become English until after the Norman conquest in 1066. That's when it began to take in all those long French words that are stressed on the second and third syllables, which created the rhythmic tensions that every English poet since Chaucer has had to struggle with. But as I was reading Heaney's translation, I got to thinking that this is what modern English poetry might have sounded like if King Harold had been a little quicker on his feet at the Battle of Hastings and the Anglo-Saxons had managed to beat the Normans back into the sea. In that case, Beowulf might have reached its 1,000th year without any need of translation at all. But then, of course, we would have been deprived of Heaney's version. It's a fine way to honor Beowulf's millennium, and ours.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist at Stanford University and the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center.